You're listening to AcadieCast, news, information, and lots of chatty stuff from Katie McAllister.
This is a behind-the-scenes look at Even Vampires Get the Blues, the fourth Dark Ones novel, which was published May 2006. I will discuss some points which may be spoilers for this book, so if you haven't read it yet, you may want to hold off on listening to the podcast. Even Vampires Get the Blues was written partly to appease a vocal group of readers who pleaded for a sexy Scottish vampire. Since I am no stranger to the overwhelming attraction that can be produced by Scottish men, it didn't take much persuading to get me to start thinking up a male Scot who just also happened to be a vampire. I wanted to try something a little different with this book, however. I wanted the hero to be a bit more modern in his persona. I wanted him to have strong family ties, and most importantly, I wanted him to believe he was perfectly happy and content as he was. I smushed all those things together, and voila, Payne was born. Incidentally, his name is an actual medieval English name. I thought it a bit ironic that the most modern of my vamps should be saddled with an out-of-date name. As I do with most of my heroes, as soon as I had an idea for Payne, I started thinking about what sort of woman would suit him best. I decided it would be an interesting twist to make the heroine something more than mortal, but not yet immortal, and pretty much at the complete opposite of the spectrum from Payne. Thus, Sam came about as a half-sun elf, someone for whom the sunlight gave power. Sam also had her roots in one of my favorite movies, The Maltese Falcon. Honestly, does a movie get any better than having Humphrey Bogart as a private eye? As soon as I thought of that movie, the plot started to gel in my mind. I introduced a couple of new otherworld concepts with this book. Reuben the poltergeist just kind of burst out one day while I was writing the scene. My husband had been watching the movie The Ring, and I happened to see a few seconds of it as I was passing by him, and the image of the jerky, fast-forwarded movement in that movie stuck in my head and gave me the idea for a type of being who moved like that naturally. The idea of there being old orthodox poltergeists just absolutely tickled my fancy, although I have to admit that I have no idea where they got their extra set of arms. That just kind of came out while I was writing. I was so smitten with the idea of poltergeists, however, I ended up writing a mystery based around the Polter Society. The first book in that series, Ghost of a Chance, will be out in February 2008. But back to Even Vampires Get the Blues. Another element that is mentioned for the first time is the Akashic Plane. I get a lot of email from people asking me where I get my ideas, and since the idea for the Akashic Plane was formed in a really roundabout way, I figured I'd go into an explanation of how I came about to use that as an illustration of the sometimes torturous route authors take in arriving at a destination. For a long time, I've been interested in the subject of spiritualism, most specifically in the Victorian spiritualist movement and the associated debunking therein. In fact, and this is an aside, the Fox sisters, who more or less started the whole phenomenon by cracking their toe joints and claiming it was a spirit talking through rapping, was the basis for the Polter language I use in my Poltergeist mystery series. One of the people I've always admired was Houdini, and when I found out that he spent a good portion of his later years uncovering fraudulent mediums and debunking the spiritualist movement as a whole, I was delighted. I found a book he'd written about the subject, Houdini Among the Spirits, and devoured it. One of the people Houdini addressed in his work was Madame Blavatsky, who founded the Theosophical Society in 1875. Still with me? Well, it turns out that one of the concepts the Theosophical Society touted was that of the Akashic Records. The Akashic Records refers to a supposed collection of all knowledge, specifically that related to human experience, which is constantly being updated. The word Akashic stuck in the back, dusty hallways of my mind for quite some time. Akasha, it turns out, is a Sanskrit word meaning sky or space or ether. While I was writing Even Vampires Get the Blues, yes, we're finally getting to the point of this mental wandering, I wanted to have a place that represented my version of limbo, a sort of timeout zone that was used as a source of punishment by the Court of Divine Blood, which, incidentally, was a book away from being mentioned. So I combined the traditional meaning of the word Akasha with the Theosophist's meaning and came up with the Akashic Plane. I also later had a version of the Akashic Record, but that didn't show up until Last of the Red Hot Vampires. But there you have it, the lengthy and sometimes easily sidetracked path from idea to fruition. A little bit of trivia to close out the podcast. Beppo the Monkey had his origins in a book I started to write several years ago titled Tell Them Beppo Sent You. Although I never wrote more than a few chapters of that book, I loved Beppo so much that I was determined to work him into another story. When it came time to write the character of Pilar, who happened to be a Chinese monkey god, Beppo demanded to be included as Pilar's sidekick. Beppo was happy, Pilar was happy, and it actually fit into the story without me having to ramrod it in, so I was happy too. Thanks for taking the time to listen to this behind-the-scenes podcast for Even Vampires Get the Blues. If you'd like more information about the Dark Ones or the Otherworld, pop over to katiemcallister.com or dragonseps.com. And as always, feel free to drop me a line if you have questions or comments at katie@katiemcallister.com.